Want to take the SoCal Sound with you anywhere? Download the SoCal Sound app to your mobile device. You could stream the SoCal Sound 24/7. See what song just played on our playlist, listen to an archived show, read an article from our newsfeed, stay up to date, or watch a SoCal Sound session. It's all there, and it's now Apple CarPlay and Android Auto compatible. Download the SoCal Sound app today.
I'm Nick Harcourt, and we're here at the SoCal Sound Studios, and our guest is Tunde Adebimpe. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, too.
Thanks so much for coming in. You and I met about 19 years ago. I was just looking it up. I was like, I remember those guys coming on the old show very early on in the TV on the radio career, I think.
Definitely. Yeah, 2006 was that's probably when we put up Cookie Mountain.
Right.
Or right before.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
How you been?
I've been all right. still kicking.
You know, the band obviously has made records and toured and then taken some time away, mm-hmm. Been inactive for a little while. But you have been very busy. You've been very active doing a lot of different things. And I was just checking on some of your collaborations in recent years and mm-hmm. some of your acting work in recent year, collaborations with Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Massive Attack, Tinariwen, mm-hmm. Run the Jewels as well. You've been producing. Mm-hmm. How did you come around to deciding it's time for me to make my own record?
I kind of just had the time. TV and the radio decided to take a break in, I think it was mid-2019. Just because, you know, it was like touring, put out a record. It was sort of like, at that point, 18 years
right.
of doing that. So, you know, it's good to step away from something and kind of assess, like, where you are as a person and all that. So while we were on that break, I had a couple of songs just kicking around that I wasn't sure what to do with. Like, some of them just hadn't made it onto the band roster or were just kind of sitting there, like, left over. And just to kind of keep myself busy, I decided, okay, I'm going to kind of go through all of these things and see if there's a few things worth working on. Mm. And it wasn't really with the idea of making a record. It was just sort of to kind of keep going. And then the pandemic hit. The next year.
And then you had plenty of time to go through old demos.
I had so much time, and nobody was going on any kind of tour. So right. even if, you know, TV and the radio would wanted to figure something out. So yes, I had a lot of time to call some stuff together, and it started to feel like some kind of record. Another thing that happened in 2019, probably 2 months after we'd stopped, somebody broke into my studio, which is my garage, okay. and stole 15 years of hard drives. So right when I was ready to kind of be like, nah, they took it. And my laptop, strangely enough, they took the hard drive I was working with out of the computer and uh-huh. left that there, which is very mysterious to me. But they grabbed everything that was on the shelf behind it, and a backpack, some drum machines and a little synth in it, and broke out. So I had nothing to work with, but then I found a box of four-track tapes that went from about 1997 to 2008.
Okay.
And they stopped in 2008 because I think we started recording digitally
then. Sure.
And I found my four-track player and just went through these a bit, found some things there. Fragments of that stuff ended up being part of the record. But I also moved out of that garage space and found a little spot downtown in this sort of like warehouse arts building.
Better locks.
With better locks. I mean, that also, later in the story, someone broke into there too, but nothing happened. No, it was like a cursed era. But just started making songs on the four track again and
right.
kind of, you know, kind of reminding myself what I liked about making music and just kind of like, you know, it's like having a sketchbook again, like, and everything that I learned being in a band or whatever, however I advanced, even though I don't think it was that much advancement from being in a band, just applying it back to this little machine and making just making songs on it. And a lot of those ended up being on this record.
So once you started collecting all this stuff together, and I'm guessing demoing new songs, what was the next step? Was it all done inside the box, or did you go to a studio? Did you have people participating?
I had people participate. First, I went to my friend Jeffette Landis, who plays drums for TV on the Radio and is also a producer. And we worked on a couple of songs before the thick of the pandemic really hit. You know, and he brought in some instrumentalists to, you know, just to flesh everything out. And then I started working with Wilder Zobie, who is playing with me today. And we pretty much just kind of hunkered down and finished the whole thing together. And he's a great producer and works with Run the Jewels. And we've known each other for probably 24 years and never did anything together.
Until now.
Just had a chance to do this.
Right.
And it essentially happened that I sent him two demos while we were working on. We had a gig. We had like a work job making a soundtrack for a kid's show. And I had these demos and I said, if you want to just mess with any of these and see what's up, like, please be my guest. Mm-hmm. And he did. And what came back was, you know, better than I could have imagined. And yeah, we just went for it.
You're a busy guy, though. You just mentioned doing soundtrack for a kid's show, and I know you've been busy doing various acting gigs. Mm-hmm. Most recently, one of the Star Wars family of shows called Skeleton Crew, which just came out at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Is acting something that you do on the side, or are you really one of these guys who is, when I'm doing this, I'm focused on this, and when I'm doing that, I'm focused on this? I was talking to you a little bit earlier about flow.
No, sure. Finding the flow.
Yeah, because I can't find my flow. But
I also can't. I don't know if I can find it.
How does that work for you?
I feel like I was saying, I've kind of been lucky enough that one has presented itself as the other is like winding down. But with acting, it's kind of I love doing it, and when I am in it, it's that's where I am, you know, pretty much, and I. You know, like with anything, you put as much of yourself into it as you can. I like being part of a project that's not self-generated, too, because then you figure out what you can add to the whole instead of, you know, a self-generated project. There's a lot of, you know, back and forth with yourself as to...
Well, you're responsible for everything.
You're responsible, and you're kind of like, you know, like you can spend 3 months on something and then listen back to it and just be like, maybe I'm just really messing up. Maybe nobody but me thinks this is anything,
right.
And I actually don't think it's that good.
But getting hired for a gig is a whole different thing.
It's a whole different thing.
Right.
Yeah. And you get to, you know, you get to play with the filmmakers and with the, you know, with your coworker actors. But I love doing it, and I've been really fortunate to kind of be in a lot of things I really like, too.
Is there any of that working that way, learning lines, obviously, understanding stories that comes back into the music or your writing?
I don't know if it's that. With acting, I don't feel it that much. I also, when I, you know, again, have the time, like, I've directed, and it's mostly, you know, music videos, but doing, when I'm writing, I can usually see. It's a very, it's not like a synesthesia, it's more just repeating the song. There's a visual that comes up, and, you know, you can put yourself in the shoes of a character who's, you know, based in your real experience, or a couple of songs on this record had their, I think, genesis in another in a story that friends, you know, had told me, and I kind of thought, it was like, oh, that's, I've sort of been in that situation, but I kind of, you know, wanted to, you know, you end up writing a song to kind of make sense of someone else's situation, mm-hmm. and put yourself in their shoes. So maybe that's a bit of the acting part. But yeah, it all feels like one thing to me. And you kind of like are I was going to say one barrel, and you kind of push yourself to one side of the barrel a little more, depending on what you're up to.
Right, depending on the flow.
Yeah, depending on the flow. Find the flow, yeah.
So it's a solo album, obviously. It's called The Black Bolts. Mm-hmm. And what is that experience like for you now coming out with an album and starting to set it up and doing conversations and interviews as opposed to with the group?
It's been good. Like I don't know if it was just having so much time away from it that this feels like I'm very glad to see you and to talk to you. I appreciate it, and also the conversations are I think of how to put it. You know, again, it's just kind of me, you know, and friends, but responsible for what happened. And as far as the interviewing part, it's nice to just, you know, when someone asks a question, you don't have to hang in the silence of your other bandmates being like, well, yeah, not even a bad way, but just being like, who's going to go first? Who's going to say, what are they going to say?
Or are you speaking for everybody?
For everybody, which is kind of.
Yeah.
Now I'm speaking for me. For better or for worse.
You mentioned directing music videos, and myself and Matt over here, who's shooting this interview, we've been getting into that and having a ton of fun with it.
Oh, nice. They're really fun.
Do you feel like you might want to direct a movie at some point?
I would love to. If it was, it'd probably be pretty scrappy.
That's the best way.
It's the best way. Yeah. I feel like that's... Do you know that director Seijun Suzuki at all?
I don't.
He's a Japanese director, kind of avant-garde-ish Japanese director who worked a lot in the 60s and 70s. And he there was an interview with him that I saw once, and he said, my movies make no sense and make no money. And it was kind of like, you watch his movies, though, and they're very, you know, I feel like I've got a real punk spirit to it before punk was a thing, but it was, I feel like... I understood. My movies make no sense and no money. But I would absolutely love to. I have a few, like two things that I think would make really good.
Right. Movies. So it's kind of back there somewhere.
It's back there.
At some point.
Yeah.
But first up, this album. Are you going to be able to play out live?
We're figuring it out. We're going to have. There's a record release show. It's going to be. If you're in LA,
in Los Angeles,
at Zebulon.
Is that release date? April 18th is
that
album
is
release?
Album release date, yes.
Okay.
And we're trying to work out how to present the album live.
Right. You've also got TV on the radio dates coming up this year.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be on tour in Europe most of June, which is great because our last tour. We didn't get to go to Europe because there was a medical thing with someone in the band. So we haven't been for a while. So that's gonna be all of June. I think I'm gonna try to work out shows with this record through July and try to present those in a really special way, like Hollywood Forever Cemetery or like a small, you know.
Great
like,
idea.
Yeah, just like a little experience to have and not a bar.
Right.
And then TV on the radio has a few things going into the fall that are, I think some are getting confirmed now, but we'll be playing like through the end of the year with both of these things.
Yeah. Well, busy guy.
Thanks
for dropping by and
of course,
you know, sharing some of the music and obviously talking a little bit about what led up to it. Sounds like COVID was a productive time for you.
It was a lot of things. But productive. It was, I feel like this record was a good, as kind of up and down as the feelings that went into it were. I feel like it was a very grounding thing during a really, a time where everything was up in the air and crashing to the ground and then up in the air again and crashing to the ground.
And now you get to share it with everybody.
Now you get to share it. Now it's a gift. Now it's out of my hands.
It's great to see you, man.
Yeah, great to see
Thanks.
You, too.
Pleasure.
Always, dude.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was thinking about the timing. days. From inside I heard a message cry, shining like mirrors in the sky. So get your head right and hold it high. Say look around now, baby, you know you got the touch, because you're about the human race in the age of tenderness and rage. Had me flipping for an extra page. From inside I heard a message cry, shining like mirrors in the sky. Get it together, kid, it's time to fly. Say look around now, you know you got the touch, because yo. Come like that for, you know you're magnetic, dump synthesizer. You've been down but you've never been higher. Out of the skin and doing loops in the fire. What they gonna do with the lightning rider? Magnetic bolts in the air, pure energy flying everywhere. Hot flash goes straight to the fire. What they gonna do with the lightning rider? Magnetic dump synthesizer. You've been down but you're gonna get higher. Hot flash goes straight to the fire. What they gonna do with the lightning rider? How'd you get so low? Feeding that bad buzz in your hair. And the letter that you wrote that day, figured that you left our love for dead. And I tried to fight, and I tried to hold on. Had me thinking we were starting to get somewhere. But I was looking out the window, you were walking back home, picking needles off the pavement, now I know. God knows you're the worst thing I've ever loved. And you're bad news, but we still got to have our fun. Your lips turn blue. Seen you pushing every button, but you saved the self-destruct one just for you. Moving through this loneliness with a smile and a tear on my face. 'Cause you be hanging off your white cloud while a mouthful of rain.
The best way to stay up to date with the SoCal Sound is by signing up for our email newsletter. Get the inside scoop on station events, ticket giveaways, and pre-sale opportunities. Go to thesocalsound.org and click sign up for the email newsletter at the top of the homepage.
Can't seem to get you. Together.
SoCal Sound sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Nick Harcourt. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.